Thank you, Rich. I'd like to say good morning to you all. Good morning. It's great that we can be here together as a community of faith here at Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And for those of you who are visiting with us, I want to extend you a personal welcome. And inside, actually, our FYI, which is our church bulletin, that if you would love to fill information out, and if you'd like to know information about our church, or there's things that you would like for us to pray about, we would love to do that for you and to connect with you in that way. It's been I don't know about you guys, but for me personally, it's been a great time together going through the book of 1 John specifically, as we've been looking at true love. And as we go through the summer together, we're going to be going through not only 1 John, but 2 and 3 John. And so as we look together today, as Rich has already prayed, we're going to be looking at discerning love. And so a couple of things that I always do before I preach is to share two things. One, if you'd like to follow along, you can follow along by just showing of hands, and an usher would be glad to get you a Bible because we're going to be looking into God's Word this morning. And the other way is, Dom shared with you, is FYI, there's a half sheet, which is an outline, if you'd like to follow along that way as well. And if you need a writing implement, ushers, I'm going to put you on the spot. There's some pencils, too, if you need something to write with. Now, for those of us who are going to Puerto Rico, I don't know how many of you are excited yet. Wow. I tell you what, this is like youth group right here, right? But no, we have 6 days. 6 days, and then we head out to Philadelphia, and again, we fly out to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then we drive out to Lares, Puerto Rico, where, again, we're going to be doing a VBS there, which is High Seas Expedition, but also we're going to be doing some construction on the church. The past several weeks, we not only have talked about true love, but we had a couple other speakers come and share God's Word with us. And on Father's Day, what a great time with the Austin family as Greg shared with us about hope in Romans chapter 5, and how his family shared about how they reflected back on hope and how this community of faith really, and really I heard from the children specifically, how this church helped them draw closer to God. What a great time with them. Also, Pastor Carlos, who is from the Potter's House in Lares, Puerto Rico, he shared about being stuck in the moment. And he shared there's times for us that where we just got to get up and allow God to work in our lives so that we can move forward with him. And then last week, as I heard, we had really literally a small group here. But that's really cool, though, because sometimes you do need to get away and you need to go on vacation. I was one of those people with my family. But, you know, it was really neat to hear Chick Wasson, and I got to hear this online, so I really did hear the message. But he shared with us about sacrificing love. And that sacrificing love can only come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But because of that, it drives us to love one another and to give up for one another. So that's where we've been up to this point, as we've been looking at true love. Now, I don't know about you, but I have what's called an iPhone. And an iPhone is what's considered a smartphone. And if I'm getting this wrong, y'all just shout out that I'm saying this wrong. But my understanding of a smartphone is I have a telephone on here, I can text, I have email, and I can get onto the internet. Okay? And for the iPhone specifically, you have what's called apps. And on the apps, like, I can get games on it. Actually, I have SportsCenter on mine, I have the Weather Channel, I have a recipe app, I have a thing that if I want to go eat somewhere in Philadelphia, I hit some buttons and shake it, and it whips up some places that I can go. Now, it was really interesting because I checked online the other day, and an iPhone has come out with this app called the iCar Remote. And it's pretty interesting, and what it does is it really helps you control your car. It's really crazy. So I found this video, so I want you to take for about the next minute and 15 seconds to take a look at the iCar Remote, and then we're going to get back together, all right? So take a look. All right, I'll continue. Well, here's the deal. And I'll explain the transponder for the remote on the app, okay? I'm going to get out of the way here. And then here we go. He's going to shut the door. And what he's going to do here right now when he shows his phone, he's going to tap it. And right at that moment, if we had the audio, the car starts. All right? And then he's going to roll the window down. And then the neat thing is he gets the door to open. Isn't that something else? Now, what he explains here on this app from Apple is that this app is only $6.99. And I thought, whoa, that is so cool. Look, he's getting it to drive, too. Isn't that something else? I thought, man, what could I do with my van? Like, I could do some amazing things. I'd really freak kids out. That would be so awesome. So, Jeremy, we can cut it right there, and we can put the lights back on. But for $6.99, I can get my car to do whatever it wants. Now, how many of you believe that that is real? You are a sucker. And I'm not picking on you, Trevor, but it's because that thing is not real at all. And so as I watch the video on YouTube, they have people who comment on the videos, and some people actually believe that was an app for the iPhone, but it's not. It's not even a real thing. It was, and actually the white thing that you saw on there for the remote for it is actually the case for the actual iPhone. He just had it turned upside down. So think about that. Like, what was the whole point of someone being gullible, let's say just gullible, believing that that app was real? Was it the fact that it was on YouTube? Was it the fact that it was an iPhone and whatever Apple says is legit? Think about that. And when we look this morning at discerning love, what that look like for us? When we begin to believe anything that comes along into our ears and we just take it like that's truth. Because when we begin to do that, sometimes that can get us into trouble. Not only can it get us into trouble, but it can take us on paths that God never intended for us to go. So that's what we want to look at here this morning. We want to look at discerning love. And let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6 this morning. And just to give you a brief definition of discern, it is to pick out, distinguish, or recognize. So to pick out, distinguish, or recognize. So when we look here at discerning love this morning, we want to see for John. John, the writer John, is older in age, and he's writing to the young believers. And this was probably between about 85 and 95 AD from Ephesus, which now is modern-day Turkey. And the early church, what was going on here is they were having an adequate view of who Christ was. Not only that, John was actually taking a stand to expose those who were teaching falsely, those who were anti-Christ. And so what he was doing here is that he was saying, listen, there's heresy going on in the church. And again, by definition, heresy is a chosen self-doctrine and beliefs that do not come from God. So that was going on. And more specifically, it was a teaching called Gnosticism. Now, I'm going to give you a little lesson here. Now, some of you may know what Gnosticism is and some may not, but just bear with me for the next few moments. With Gnosticism, its central teaching was that spirit was entirely good and that physical is totally evil. So compared to God, we were totally evil. But because of that, their thinking was that you were cruel to your body. So in other words, there was really no morality going on among the Gnostics at that day and time. So no morality at all. And that salvation was an escape from the body. Not just an escape from the body, but it wasn't through accepting that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior and that he died on a cross. So it was not through faith. It was just an escape from the body. And it was also a special knowledge of God. So there was like this special higher knowledge of God, okay? So that's what John was dealing with at that time. Now, you may say, well, that's good, Gnosticism, okay, that really isn't prevalent here today. But yet, today in our world, we could attribute it to even the thinking of our world, the world that we live in. For example, there's a gentleman by the name of Bill Maher. He's an actor, he's a comedian, he's also a television show host of a TV show, Real Time with Bill Maher. Bill Maher is also a member of Project Reason. This is a U.S. foundation whose main aim is the promotion of scientific knowledge and secular values within society. And he did a documentary film in 2008 called Religious. And in that documentary, at the end of the film, he said this, and quote, "Religion must die in order for mankind to live. We must be a society of intellectuals who forges forward towards our existence." So that's what the world is saying. So he said religion, but he had Christianity in there and different types of religions. But he said, in order for society to move forward, you must be out of your mind to believe that there is a higher power who would have came to this earth and died. There's no way. You have to be smarter than that. So here we are today, and we may be here sitting and going, wow, well, you may be right, Jeff. But that's not what we're saying. We're talking about discerning love. We're talking about children of God and what that looks like for us. Because the truth is that there are even people today in our world who claim to be from God, and yet they're not teaching the truths of God. And so that's for us today. What does it look like for us to have discerning love? So let's look at and see what John is saying to the early believers here in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start right here with verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So John was very clear. Just like Chick shared last week with sacrificing love, there's love, and there was what else? What was in the other circle? Y'all remember? Hate. And then there was that little line, and you had to draw like the glasses. Remember that? And so Chick, as he was sharing last week, he was differentiating black and white. And so this is where we are here today, when John has continued to reiterate, this is what it looks like for us. It looks like for you as a child of God. So when we look at discerning love this morning, the first thing that I'd like to share, and if you're following along in your this, is that we want to investigate what we hear. We want to investigate what we hear. I'm going to go back to verse 1 as you're filling that out. John says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So in other words, don't believe everything you hear. I've been guilty of that. I've fallen into traps of believing everything, and not just on gospel truth over my years. But I believed in stuff, and I go, yep, that's it. That's the way to go. And then, bam, there I am in trouble. There I am, caught in something that I shouldn't be caught in. And so what John is saying here, listen, your role is to evaluate what you hear. And the word test here is speaking of examining to seeing whether something is genuine or not. Spotting that fake, identifying the counterfeit. And when we see that it is from God's word and is from someone who is a child of God, that person is participating in the work of God. Those who aren't children of God, those who are not a part of God's family, are not participating in the things of God. And so it is God's words that individual is speaking to us. So, for example, if we're to investigate what we hear, that would be each and every Sunday. Or even today, I'm gonna challenge you. Investigate, examine what I'm telling you. Because I believe that I am speaking God's words. And that's the heart of this church, to speak God's truth, truthfully. And so that's where we are. We want to examine that. And so what happens when we choose to just take in everything we hear and here and there, we become confused. We not only become confused, but we jump from one thing one minute to the next thing the other. So we investigate what we hear. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22 puts it this way. Test everything, hold on to the good. When we test what we hear, here's the thing. We have to count the cost. Because we have to count the cost of what does it look like for me to take time with God? What does it look like for me to take time in His Word? Does it mean I get up an extra 30 minutes in the morning? Does it mean I don't read my Bible right when I'm laying in bed before I go to sleep at midnight? Counting the cost. What does that look like for each and every one of us? And so the beautiful thing is that God's discerning love drives us to pursue truth. Not only that, He gives us the desire to hold on to what is good. Not only that, discerning love won't bring division in our community of faith. But it will bring unity It will bring encouragement, and it'll bring strength. I think of VBS myself. I think of the many, many people who helped participate. And if we weren't unified, that would have been a joke for one whole week. Am I right? Yeah, but we needed individuals to feed kids. We needed individuals to run outside with kids. We needed individuals to do dramas. We needed people up front whose wives tackle them on the ground. We needed those people, and we needed them to love those children who God entrusted us with for one week. See, as we begin to search out truth, we seek God's truth, and with God's truth, we say, God, what is it you want from me? I want to love those kids better. I want to love those people around me better. I want to be able to serve those even when it hurts, even when they don't deserve it. That's what his discerning love does, is we take that time to truly be in his word and investigate everything that we hear. And so when we begin to investigate what we hear, the question we can ask ourselves this morning is God's love helping me see truth the way he sees truth? Is God's love, because I'm seeing truth clearer, am I loving more? Am I giving more? Am I looking out for one another more? Am I encouraging more? So we begin by saying, listen, let's investigate what we hear. Let's have God help us pick out, distinguish, find the genuineness in his word. And we begin by that way. So I just want to take the next few moments, and let me ask you this. How many of you have heard of the game Two Truths and a Lie? Y'all allowed to raise your hand this time? All right, good. There's some of you. So the idea is that you tell two truths about yourself and one lie, and the person has to figure out what you're lying about. Well, I just did it a little different. I flipped it around, and we're going to do two lies and a truth today. But the whole premise of that is I'm not encouraging lying at all. But what I'm saying is we want to take a look at God's discerning love in a way to guard our hearts. Because again, there's a lot of messages that are going to come at you. They say the average teenager has 300 messages a day come at them. And so think about me as a youth pastor here, and I have one message. And that one message is taught 3 hours a week. And they get 300 a day. And so that's what we want to look at, a way to guard our hearts. So I just want to do a quick exercise, see if you're following along with me. I'm going to share about myself, and let's see if you can pick out which is true, all right? So, Jeremy, let's do that. So the first thing here is, I have been in a hot wing eating contest. The second thing is that I have, my first piano recital was when I was 8 years old. And the last thing is this, I have bungee jumped twice in my life. Which one do you guys think it is? Just go ahead and say it. The third one, okay. Third one is the truth. It's false, okay. Number two is true. One more over here. Number one. All right, so let's take a look. Is it, Jeremy? Well, we're down to two. My first piano recital was when I was 8 years old. Let me tell you, I was the only boy out of 11 kids, all right? And my mom actually, she went out and bought a suit for that day, and so here I am, I'm thinking I'm, you know, Beethoven, and I go, no joke, I walk over to the piano, I just got to share this because it's kind of funny, but I went, as I sat down, I took the back and did it up, the whole place laughed, I don't even remember what I played, but my mom laughed the whole time because she said, not what you had practiced. I said, yeah, I wanted to jazz it up a little bit, all right, it was kind of boring, if I'm going to be the only guy, you know, I want some attention on me, if you know what I'm saying, but yeah. But, you know, you guys said, well, that's truth. That Jeff, your first piano recital. But then Al said, you know, Jeff, the type of person you are, you were probably in a hot wing eating contest. And some of you thought I was crazy enough to bungee jump. I did Sky Coast, though. That's incredible. Anyway, we'll just keep moving forward because I'm going to get distracted. But we look at here, God's discerning love helping us guard our hearts. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Everything that you bring in, everything that you hear, everything that you see, are we lining it up with God's word? And if we are lining up with God's word, how is that changing us? How is that loving us more? How are we loving others more? Think about the teaching that was going on in that day. Were they more concerned with their education, their special knowledge, than they were with loving those who were there in that community. How were they viewing people? How were they loving others? So when we look at this, guarding our hearts, using God's discerning love, we begin by defining our terms. That's the next thing. Define your terms. Define your terms. I'm going to read again verses 2, 3, and 6. John went on to say this. He says, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." Verse 6, "We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." So we understand here what John is telling us is this is not just an intellectual thing. He was very clear. He said, child of God is one who professes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their lives. He professes, or she professes, that Christ came to this earth and lived among us. Not only lived a life among us, but went to a cross and gave up his life for the sins of man, the sins of humankind. But because of that, he gave eternal life to those who say yes to him. And the beautiful thing is, let's go back to John, what he was dealing with. Those who were from the Gnostic teaching were saying, listen, that's not true. Here's what we believe. Listen, God's Spirit entered Christ at his baptism and left him at his suffering on the cross. But yet we see here John saying, no, listen, God's love is true love. God's love said, listen, I'm sacrificing my son. I am coming down here to earth to show them who I really am and how I really love, to show them what this looks like and how that they can do it. He even put it this way in John 1:14. He says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, this is truth that we can rest on. This is truth I believe that I can go to the bank on. This is truth that helps me love the unlovable. It helps me give when it hurts. It helps me sacrifice when I don't feel like it. That's what God's discerning love helps me do. And again, if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all of that comes with it. All of it. It's not just saying, wow, I love the Jesus of the New Testament, but the God of the Old, well, how do I love better when I read stuff in the Old Testament? It's saying, God, listen, I need you to teach me your truths. I need to teach me what you're saying in your word. One of the things we tell the teenagers is that, you know, sure, you, listen, Goliath dies every single time you read it. He really does. Listen, you know, miracles that happen, they're the same miracles that happen every time. But it's taking that time and saying, God, I want to define my terms around your terms. Give me fresh eyes to see your truths. And that's how we take that, as we talked several weeks ago, that transforming love. And God begins to transform us, transform our hearts and our minds, and we begin to put that into action. And discerning love, see, the beautiful thing, it helps us in putting up the red flags. When we begin to hear anything other than Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's a child of God. Discerning love compels us to be humbled by Christ's sacrifice, to see people with the love that Christ has for them. Again, I don't believe we would have done VBS if we were full of ourselves. Well, we could have, and we would have failed. But it was Christ's love that compels us to do what we did. And you crew leaders, I watched you as you interacted with those kids. Some kids can be difficult, let's be honest. But the way that some of you handled them, actually all of you, was just such a way that I see a picture of how Christ handles us. That's what discerning love does. But we have to define
our terms. Not only do we do that, but discerning love brings us to a place where we will sacrifice for one another. And will we will be a light of hope for those who need it. So when we define our terms, we can ask ourselves this question: is God's discerning love helping us live out lives to what we believe is true? Is discerning love helping us live out lives of what we already believe is to be true? One of the things I shared with my small group several weeks ago was, listen, being a pastor here at Hope Community Church, I don't get many opportunities outside of the zone to really share my faith. And so one Monday morning, there was a knock on our door, and this guy said, hey, I'm the copier guy, your copier broke, so hey, you know, I need to get in. I said, all right, so came in and let him in and said, do you want me to hang out with you? He said, yeah, sure, I'm only going to be about 10 minutes. He said, listen, I grew up going to a church, and man, it was just boring. I said, well, you were young then, right? He's like, yeah, but it was kind of like these and nows and yawn. And I was like, okay, but, you know, where are you with all that now? He said, well, listen, man, the Christian church, that's pretty cool. I said, well, that's interesting because we are a church who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and went through and just shared with them what we believe. And he's like, wow. So let me ask you this. What does it mean to be saved? I said, man, I'm glad you asked me that. And so I shared with him what it looked like to be a child of God. Why did I do that? I could have said, listen, fix the copier, come back over, I'll sign the paper, have a nice day. Now, did the copier guy drop to his knees and say, I need the Lord as my Savior? No. Did he say, I'm going to be back next week, and I invited him? No. But the idea was, is that when I define my terms as Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I define that it's his true love that I want to permeate out of me, I was compelled to share that with him. And it was really, really neat to be able to do that. Because that's a desire. I want God's love to permeate out of me and be in partnership with him and to be able to give that good news to others. So with God's discerning love and guarding our hearts, we want to define our terms. The second thing is this, is we want to live life from the inside out. We want to live life from the inside out. Here's the encouraging words that John gives, not only to the believers at that time, but to us as well. Verse 4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. And they are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Wow, how great. Greater is he that is in me, in you, as a child of God, than he that is in the world. Listen, God's love, his discerning love, will help us resist those things that come at us, all these things that we hear. He encourages us, strengthens us to resist believing everything we hear. John challenges us to rely on God as our only source to guard ourselves of things that aren't of him. He is our only source to teach us how to not only discern, but to love better, to love like he would love, to give like he would give, to sacrifice as he would. Because we have to remember, as I said about a month ago, Christ has defeated death. The enemy has been defeated. And so with that, guess what? Greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in the world. The evil one rules the world right now. But Jesus is coming back, y'all. If you hadn't heard, I really believe that. And when he comes back, it's over. So we don't live defeated lives. We live lives victoriously because we live from the inside out. We live that discerning and true love. And discerning love helps us as a community of faith to hold on to God's truths and discern them responsibly. Not only that, that love keeps our community of faith unified, never compromising on God's truth in his word. It also helps us, again, not just to believe in God, but to believe God. And what he says is true. And when we live our lives inside out, God's discerning love makes the person of Christ clearer and clearer. Isn't that neat? Because it's already a relationship. It exemplifies that relationship that already exists.
Jesus said this too, as we live our lives inside out. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to hear things that you want to believe. You're just going to go on what everyone says. You're going to be tempted not to love, tempted to hate, to gossip, to backstab, to burn someone. That's going to happen. You're going to have trouble. Not just trouble of the temptations, but we will have trouble in our world. But listen to what he says. The beauty of it, he says, but take heart, I have overcome it. I've already done it. Live victoriously. Live from the inside out. Allow my discerning love to show you what it looks like to have the fruit of the Spirit lived out in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so on and so forth. And again, living from the inside out does give us that peace in our hearts as we reside in this temporary world. Not only that, we live our lives for God, not out of an obligation, but out of love for Him and what He has done. Jeremy, I'm going to ask you to hold on to the next slide until I tell you, all right? Now, for me, when I saw about God's true love and how He helps me discern and become the person that He wants me to be and have a clear picture, laminin came to my mind. Does anyone know what laminin is outside of Tim? You know what it is, Mary? Rosemary? No, laminin. Laminin. No? Well, don't tell anybody yet. All right. But you know what it is, all right? Okay, well, here's what laminin is. I'm going to read what laminin is. Laminin is a cell adhesion protein molecule that is in animals and humans. Okay? Now, with this laminin, it's an extracellular matrix. These are all big words for me, but bear with me. That lies outside of cells and provides support and attachment for cells inside organs. Okay? So in other words, it holds us together. Is that right, Tim? Okay. So laminin's holding us together. If we didn't have laminin, you know, boop, boop, things falling off and stuff like that. But laminin is what holds us together. So why I share that is because I'm going to show you an image in just a second. I'm not trying to be hokey or kooky or anything, but for me, it reminds me of who is greater in me than He is in the world. So this is actually a microscopic picture of what laminin looks like. Go ahead, Jeremy. You have an idea what that looks like? Anybody confused yet? Yeah, it looks like, now I'm not trying to go hokey, down and across. I'm not trying to use this for my Christian advantage. I'm just saying that reminds me of who is in me that is greater than He who is in the world. It's Christ in me, Christ in you, pushing us and driving us to love better, deeper with one another. And so if we're reminded to live life from the inside out, then the question we can ask ourselves is God's discerning true love flowing out of me? Is me being lived out in my day-to-day life? Do we have moments when we go backwards? Absolutely. I do. I have moments when I get frustrated, and angry instead of being gentle and humble. That may be for me. You may have something else. But it is God's discerning love that helps us define our terms, helps us live life from the inside out, because there is one greater that is in us than He that is in the world. So the question that we'll leave as for a time to just reflect and respond to God's truth today is just like at the beginning, the early church there, as John was writing to, had an inadequate view of Christ. Is that where you are today? Do you have an inadequate view of Christ? Are you not seeing Him as clear as we ought to? As a child of God, what is the result in your life because of God's discerning love? What are the results? Are you loving more? Are you being patient more? Kinder? Gentler? Self-controlled,
less snapping back, less irresponsible with things, better in your relationships with others? And are you choosing to hold on to the good that is in His Word and allowing Him to show you what He wants for your life? This morning, too, there may be some of you who do not have that relationship with God and have no idea what it means to even discern God's love and just have discerning love yourselves. Well, let me ask you this. What stops you and keeps you away from God's true and discerning love? Not only that, are you someone who just falls for everything you hear? Well, that sounds good today, but tomorrow, well, that's even better. And this is what I believe to be true if I'm a good person or if I do right things. Listen, God's truth says this. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. Saved from eternal separation from God. There is an eternity, yes, we believe here at Hope. There is eternity with God for those who have professed faith in Him. And there's eternity separated from those who have rejected Him. Because Tina has said this in our home and said it to the youth. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, that's for all of us, including me. If we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. Are we going to allow God's discerning love to infiltrate us? And that through that, we permeate His love to those around us and allow Him to transform our lives to have a clear picture of who He is. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, and I'm going to leave you with this. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly My disciples if you remain faithful to My teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we understand, God, that when we live our lives for You, it can be difficult, it can be tiresome, we can get weary, and our circumstances dictate what we believe about who You are. Father, my prayer is today that we would see You as a big God, a huge Heavenly Father, that You are in control of all things. God, that we would search Your truths, that You would give us fresh eyes to see what it is that You want for our lives, not only for our lives, but that we would have a clearer picture of who Your Son, Jesus Christ, is. May we be people, again, because of discerning and picking out and seeing what is genuine, that we would choose love above all. We would choose love to obey Your commands, that we would choose love when it comes to the unlovable, the difficult. When we're angry, we choose love. Father, help us define Your terms the way that You say it is. Help us to live life from the inside out, because each of us are incapable of doing this without You. And Father, I pray for those who have possibly struggled with truth, that have had times of doubt. Lord, I pray that they would come before You and say, "Help me with my unbelief. Help me see things the way You do." And Lord, also that even today, that salvation would come here today. And Lord, we just give these things over to You and saying that, Lord, Your word is true. It has been God-breathed. And Lord, thank You that this word does change us. And Lord, we do want to walk away this morning not the same as we walked in. We do not want to be the same. We want to follow Your path. We want to run this marathon with You. And we give all these things over to You, believing that You will work in the way that You do please. We trust that, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.